Hi, it's Brandy Taylor. Welcome to the Business Beauty Network podcast, where business meets beauty. It's not just lipstick, it's business. We will share thought-provoking conversations with business and beauty professionals. Our goal is to empower, motivate, and inspire you to take your business to the next level. This episode is sponsored by StyleSeed. Join StyleSeed today, trusted by top professionals and adored by clients. Hey, welcome to the podcast, a new day, a new week, and a new episode of the Business Beauty Network podcast. Welcome, welcome. I am super, super excited to bring a new episode to you. I have an awesome guest in store for you today. But before we get into that, make sure that you are subscribed to the Business Beauty Network podcast wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share it. Sharing is caring. So if you know someone who would benefit from this awesome content, share it out. Check in with us on social media. You can follow me on Instagram at I am Brandy Taylor. Brandy is spelled with an I. So connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. I would love to hear from you there. Leave us a review on Apple, Spotify. A written review will help other people to find us. And if you're enjoying our segment on every other Wednesday with Coach Mariah, definitely let us know how you're enjoying that as well. Leave us a review there. We would love to hear from you. You can follow me on Instagram and the Biz Beauty Network podcast at Biz Beauty Network and Business Beauty Network on all social media outlets. Now that all of that is out of the way, I am super, super excited to bring an episode to you today. As you know, it is Black History Month, so I want to give my quote of the month. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. James Baldwin. I think that's an awesome, awesome quote by James Baldwin. It's the truth. Like, you can't change everything, but you can't change anything until you face it. The first step into changing anything is actually facing exactly what you need to change. And that's why I love that quote. But that is an awesome quote. It's Black History Month. So just remember to support Black businesses this month and every month. But you can support our podcast by making a donation of any amount. You can visit our website at businessbeautynetwork.com. You can email us if you have any questions or suggestions at hello@businessbeautynetwork.com. So connect with us there. Donate on the website. Any donation is greatly appreciated. It helps the podcast to keep us going. And so I am super, super excited to bring the episode. I have a great guest today. Had a great conversation about one of my favorite topics, guys, which is marketing. So you know I love marketing, but Nicki Nash, she drops so many gems. I really enjoy connecting with her. Make sure that you connect with Nicki. She has an awesome book, and I'll have all of Nicki's information in the show notes. But here is Nicki's bio. Nicki Nash is a veteran marketer with expertise in helping businesses attract and retain clients online. Prior to entrepreneurship, she spent a decade helping Fortune 100 companies and tech startups build powerful brands and attract dream clients and customers. She is the best-selling Hay House author of the book Market Your Genius and the host of the podcast with the same name. Today, she helps online business owners multiply their income while working less. When she's not powerfully serving her clients, Nicki is spending time by the water in her new home of St. Pete, Florida. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview, and here it goes. Hey, hey, welcome to the podcast. It is your host, Brandy Taylor. We have an awesome guest today, Nicki Nash. Welcome, Nicki.
Brandy, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thanks for being on. So, Nicki, before we learn all about your expertise and the awesome things you're doing with your business, tell us something about yourself that most people would not know.
Most people would not know that I mean, like, what do most people not know? Because I feel like I tell people a lot of things that maybe I shouldn't share. But I am a card shark. Like, I freaking love playing cards. Everything from like poker to pinochle, spades. I'm basically, like a teenage boy and an 80-year-old woman mixed into one body when it comes to card games that I like to play.
Now, girl, so I got a funny story for you. When I was like, I don't want to say 10, my mom, she was in this poker league, right?
I love that.
And so they used to do these poker parties, you know, and it was like gangster, you know, like that, it was serious. So she started teaching me poker, and me and her would play it. And I got really, really good, and I could beat her all the time. So she wanted to see if I could do it, you know, at the real game. And of course I did, and we won the table. And oh, it was an uproar. The adults were so mad that this 10-year-old beat them at poker. And they, after my mom got all the money, the winnings, they threw me and her out of the game.
They're like, "You're out. We can't get you. Bad for our brand."
And they said she couldn't bring her, you know, her daughter to play poker anymore after that. But that was so funny. And I also love spades too. Like, I'm like, sometimes I play on my phone.
Same.
And so I'm real good with spades. I like spades because it's like a strategy game. So you got to kind of think about, like, okay, what your partner might have and come up with a strategy. So I love that.
Yeah. And Pinochle is the same way. My grandmother lived with us growing up. And so she had me playing like gin rummy and Pinochle and also 500, all sorts of card games before I could even hold the cards in my hands. Like, they would be on the bed or on the table face down, and I'd have to like pull up a couple of them to look and then another few to look because my hands were too small.
That is too funny. That is too funny. Well, yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing. So you a card girl like me? I love that. I love a good card game. Spades all the way. I have to play one day. We have to play online or something.
Love it.
Awesome. Awesome. So tell us about your business and how you help entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So it started unofficially about a decade ago, where I was head of marketing at a tech startup. And I had before that a career in corporate marketing and in advertising. And I worked all over the place. I had been at fashion magazines. So I was at InStyle magazine, Travel and Leisure magazine. I worked in advertising for consumer products. I had, like, if there was a big brand, I'd worked at one point for LVMH, so Louis Vuitton, Moet Hennessy. I've done like luxury brands, craft foods, soda, like tech, all sorts of things. And then I went to head up marketing at a tech startup. And I've always thought I would be good at teaching. And I never became a teacher. And I officially, like, through, you know, getting trained through school as a teacher, but I wanted to help people with marketing. And so at one of the companies I worked for, I had this internal program called Getting Social with Nikki, where I would teach people how to use social media to grow the business of the company that I worked for. And then I translated that when I started working at tech startups to teaching marketing specifically to entrepreneurs through a company called General Assembly. And they had their own curriculum-based courses. And then I started making up courses. And they would say, "Yeah, go teach that course that you just made up to people." And people loved it. And so long story short, I had been doing that. And when I left the marketing job as head of marketing at a tech startup, I wanted to start my own thing, which is why I left. I realized, oh my gosh, I could help business owners get more clients, retain those clients, really generate more revenue and grow profitable, sustainable businesses. And so I've been doing that for the last 8 years. And it's looked a little different over the years. I started with one-on-one consulting. Then I moved into one-on-one kind of mentorship coaching. Then it moved into more group. And then I added back on one-on-one consulting and one-on-one work. And so I've helped companies that were just getting started. And I have clients today that are doing $40 million a year in revenue. So I've helped companies all along the spectrum. And it's so much fun, but it's essentially in the, how do you get more clients? How do you keep those clients? And how do you increase your revenue and ultimately profitability as a business owner?
Right. And all of that ties into marketing, but oftentimes, especially small businesses, I think they fail to see the importance of marketing your business.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing, I say under $1 million a year, but definitely under $100,000 a year in revenue. And or if you were in your first few years of business, all you really should be focusing on is marketing, sales, and delivery of your product. So you market the heck out of it. You sell the heck out of it. and you make sure that your clients are getting what you promised them and having a good experience. That's all you need to focus on. And because when you do that consistently and when you focus on it, you have a big enough client base and you have enough happy clients to then kind of propel your brand forward on your behalf. It doesn't mean you stop doing it at all. It means your efforts are now multiplied by everybody who purchases from you and has a great experience. But you have to know how to successfully market your business so that you can ultimately train your clients how to successfully market your business on your behalf. And I think it's really the most important thing, even though I'm probably a little biased because I have a whole career in marketing. But it's pretty much the one of the most important things to a business.
It is. But you know what I've been seeing, even at big companies, a lot of people are cutting marketing. And now they're trying to throw it out there as like this $30,000 a year role that they could just give to someone. Have you seen it? Like a lot of big companies are cutting their budgets with marketing, and even smaller companies are trying to figure out how they could do it themselves. And I don't know if it's with like social media, where it seems like everything is so easy, and maybe they feel like, you know, the marketers are lying to them and they don't really need to do all these extra things, or what it is. But there is like a misconception about it. And I'm going to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, the role in marketing that's probably never going to go away and that you always need is a strategist. You need someone that understands beyond the tactics, because the challenge is that a new thing is constantly coming up. So if you imagine someone building their company and all they think of marketing is Instagram or Pinterest or TikTok or Twitter or, you know, X or whatever it is, like, if that's all people think it is, well, those platforms change and they come and go and they increase and decrease in terms of level of importance. And so if you have someone whose entire career is just on one sliver and one tactic, you might devalue it. But what most people fail to understand is that all marketing is building a relationship between the brand and the people. And if you aren't effectively stewarding that relationship with someone who understands how to best communicate your business and do it well, then you're screwed. I think most people think marketing is just, social media. Marketing, and I'm older than I look, is what I like to tell people. I might look exactly my age, but I like to pretend that I'm older than I look. When I was trained in marketing decades ago, like, marketing is what you're offering to people, how you're pricing it, how you're promoting it to people, where you're selling it. Are you selling it online? Are you selling it in store? What's the distribution? As well as then how you're actually communicating it to people, getting them to buy it, and so forth. So marketing is actually a lot bigger than certain companies realize, because they grew up, like, maybe not the people, but the company grew up in this online age where it just feels like everything is social media. But if you don't have someone that is building a relationship with the people, understands what they want next, understands how you need to market your product and service, let alone what new features are needed that can be then communicated back to the product team, your business isn't going to last.
Exactly. It isn't. And for this podcast, we focus on, of course, beauty business owners. And I think sometimes, because beauty business owners are often maybe solopreneurs, and maybe they're doing, you know, everything themselves, they can find it to be overwhelming. So what are some tips that you would have for a beauty professional that needs to continuously market their brand to attract clients and all of those things?
The first thing I would say is to not look at what big companies are doing and think that that's what you should be doing. That is the biggest mistake I see solopreneurs and even small startups doing. Big companies have typically been around for a long time. They have a big budget for marketing. They can do things that the solopreneur and the smaller person cannot. But guess what? They need solopreneurs for a number of reasons. And a number of solopreneurs have something that bigger companies don't have, which is a face to the company that is trustworthy, right? And so what I would recommend that people that are solopreneurs do, and keep in mind, for the last 10 years, I've been primarily working with solopreneurs or helping solopreneurs slowly build their team and not become purely solopreneurs, but they're still maybe one or two like owners of a company, right? It's not like this behemoth. Even my companies that I consult doing $40 million a year, they're a family-owned business that grew, right? Like they weren't this big conglomerate or anything. And so the thing that you want to always do is understand who your clients are, like who's your target audience, who are the clients that you work with, and think of about everything you do as if you are connecting with them and servicing them. So if you have to think of one person, like your favorite client, like Sue, who gets her hair done every 2 weeks, you know, and comes in like clockwork, and she's like the best thing since sliced bread, then you want to do all of your marketing to Sue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what that could look like, for example, depending on your business, is, okay, why does Sue come and get her hair done every 2 weeks? What is it that she's thinking about? What is it that she's constantly worried about? If she comes in every 2 weeks because she has a corporate job and she wants to make sure she constantly looks professional, then maybe you can do some marketing around how to, you know, stay always look your best for your next corporate meeting. Or maybe she's in sales, or maybe she's the only woman in a man's world and she wants to make sure that like that one thing that like there's something that doesn't, there's not another thing to talk about, right? You really want to think about who your person is and how you can best communicate to them. I remember when I went natural with my hair, and this is, oh my gosh, I lived in Portland, Oregon. So this was in 2011.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was.
Did you have trouble finding someone to do your hair in Portland?
No, I got lucky because I had a Black friend. I've joined the Young Professionals Urban League there. So I had a lot of Black friends. And one of my friends was like, had natural hair. And she's like, this is the person to go to. So I had a quick referral and she only did natural hair. And so it was easy. Like she had her thing. She only did natural hair. If she just marketed herself like, hey, Black people of Portland, we know you're in the middle of Portland and Oregon, and it's probably hard for you to find a place to get your hair done. I help people with natural hair. She helped me transition to natural because I wasn't natural when I first moved out there. And it was a godsend. It was beautiful. And so like all of her marketing could literally be that. Like, what is it? Who is the person you're targeting? And what is it that you are known for or amazing at? And bam, you will get people coming in left and right at the door. And it's really just communicating that over and over and over again in a way that that person will be able to see it, absorb it, and take action from it.
Right, right. I talk about that all the time. Just, you know, your ideal client, knowing who that person is and understanding them so that you can speak to them in your marketing is so important. And also, you know, you have that client that comes in every 2 weeks. That's who you're targeting. But how do you stay connected with the client? That's another thing. I've had services that I received and I've never heard from the people ever again, you know, ever, you know, especially in like, I would say the beauty industry.
Yeah.
I've received services and never heard. I didn't receive a text, an email, nothing. Now I got a text to confirm the appointment. Maybe I got a reminder before the appointment, all of that. But after I left, that was it. So what are some ways that we can stay connected with our clients?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that people forget when they are in a service-based industry, but especially the beauty industry, because you have such an opportunity here, is that it's a relationship-based business. You are building relationship. Relationship marketing is a type of marketing. Like I believe all marketing is relationship-based, some done in different levels of scale, but it's a high-touch, highly intimate relationship, right? And so if you can do things like, oh my goodness, somebody comes in, let's say I come in and I go, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to get my hair done because I'm going on this big retreat with the company and I want to look great. How did that retreat go? How did your hair hold up? You know, just like send a message, keep notes on people, keep tabs on people, treat them like you would your best friend, right? Well, maybe not your best friend because, you know,
that might be a little bit too much, but...
But yeah, depending on how you treat your best friend. But treat them like you care. People just want to know that you care. And people will be loyal to you because you care and that they feel comfortable with you. There was a guy who, I believe he got into the Guinness Book World, like the Guinness Book of World Records, I believe, if I remember the story correctly, for selling the most cars as a car salesman. And this is literally what he did. And he did it by himself. Until he ultimately needed to get help from like family members But every person that ever bought a car from him, he sent them a card every month in the mail. And it was just like, it was just thinking of you. Hope all is well. Happy holidays. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Like, it didn't matter. But like, whatever it was, he just sent them a card, was just thinking of you. How's the car holding up? Hope you're loving the car. Let me know if there's anything you ever need. Every single month. And I'm not saying people have to do this every single month. I think
I heard his story before too, but it's interesting.
But it shows the level of dedication, because then here's what happened. Anytime people would hold on to their cars for, let's say, 10 years, as soon as they needed a new car, they went to him. Any person that said, oh, I'm buying a new car, people were like, you got to go to this guy. He cares. He's going to hook you up. He's going to give you a great car. He's going to stay in contact with you. He blew up as a car salesman because he just treated people well.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I met this man, and I talk about this in my book, but I met this man. He used to be a barber, and he had moved, a barber in New York, in one of the boroughs, and he moved to Richmond, Virginia. And he had a very wildly successful barbershop, even started getting people asking him to mentor them on how to do a barbershop. And he moved to Richmond, Virginia with his wife and was getting a little bored. So he started driving for Lyft every now and then, just for the heck of it, and to meet people. And I told him I was giving a workshop, and I told him what it was about marketing to entrepreneurs. And he shared, I was once asked to be a coach, because I told him I was a coach. I was asked to be a coach because I had this wildly successful barbershop. I said, cool. He goes, you want to know the secret? And this is all I had to tell people. And they paid me all this money for coaching. He said, and I'll let you fill in the blanks, because I just decided last night that I'm going to try not to curse anymore. But he said, the reason my business grew so much is because I would kiss my clients, you know what, and then I would ask them to bring more, you know what's in the door. Like, so I would kiss their butt. I would ask them to bring more butts in the door. And he elaborated, and he said, if I knew a client liked champagne, when they came in to get their haircut, or to get it buzzed or whatnot, like when they came in for a fade or whatever they wanted, if that person liked champagne, I had champagne in there. Now, depending on the times and liquor laws, I don't know what you guys can do. But the point is, he catered to his clients. He knew what they liked. He knew what they wanted. He treated them using his words, he treated them like kings and queens when they came into his shop. And he continued to do so much so that when they asked what they could do for him, he said, bring a friend next time. And that was it.
Now, let's talk about the client experience there, right? Now, that's the client experience, you know? And I think that is often forgotten, too. Like, the little touches, the client experience, how can you enhance? And I want to go back to the handwritten notes, because I had an opportunity to meet Florrie Marcus and hear her speak a few times. And she passed recently. But I remember listening to her, she would talk about how she would send people handwritten notes. And she did that to anybody she would come in contact with, she would remember, you know, she would always send them handwritten notes, like, I'm just thinking about you or whatever. And the impact that it made and how it helped her to build relationships or help people to remember her, just sending those notes that she liked to send off. And I oftentimes will try to do that and add that in as a part of what I do as well, because I love like little touches. And I've always done that even when I was, you know, working in the industry. Just what can you do, those little touches? And just like that car salesman every month. Well, what if you just, it doesn't even have to be every month. What if maybe every holiday or their birthday or stuff like that, you send them a card, a handwritten card. It will really go a long way. Let them know that you remember them and things of that nature. And then like remembering that they love Starbucks. So maybe when they come in, having their Starbucks for them, or you can have the mimosa or whatever it may be, but going the extra mile and really enhancing that client experience, I think can really help you to be memorable. And that can actually help you with more word of mouth, and that's a form of marketing as well, as you know, word of mouth and your clients referring you and all of those things.
100%. Those are marketing strategies. There are literally strategies around word of mouth, referrals, and it stems on having a quality client experience. I think oftentimes people make marketing such this huge thing where you have to have 5 million followers on Instagram, and you know, you have to get on TikTok and have a successful YouTube channel. And yes, those are parts of marketing. Those are tactics, but they're not everything. And I think about the nail salon in New Jersey. I've moved to Florida, to St. Petersburg, Florida, which is outside of Tampa. But I'm a born and raised Jersey girl. And when I go home to Jersey, my family still goes to the same nail salon. And I will walk in and they'll be like, Nikki, how are you? How's Florida? Like, come, like, pick your color. If I get a gift for my birthday still. I'm like a regular customer at best a few times a year when I come back, right? But like, I still get a gift card for my birthday. I still get lotions for Christmas. Like, they know my name. They say hi to me. They're like, how's your family? And don't underestimate the power of just being a kind human being and remembering something about someone. You don't have to remember their entire life story, but if you remember something, their dog's name, their mom's name, what type of job they have, the fact that they like to travel, something. If you can remember that about folks and then you can share it with them, and going to our point earlier, send them a text or a message or something, treat them really well, you'll have clients for life.
Yes, yes, definitely. Now, I want to talk about this because the wintertime typically in the beauty industry can be slower. So like the first few months of the year, like especially January, February, it's a little slower. So I always talk about it's important to not put all your eggs in one basket. It's important to have multiple streams of income. All entrepreneurs should. So let's talk about that. What are some ways that we can add in multiple streams as beauty professionals?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I see people trying to do often as a beauty professional is they'll go, okay, I need another stream of income. I therefore need to create my own unique product or something. And they start like adding complication to their business, or I need to create a new service or a new something. You know, the easiest thing and my favorite thing, particularly because in January or February, you know what doesn't stop people shopping because they got a bunch of gift cards and all this other stuff from the holidays in December, is affiliate marketing. And essentially, for folks that aren't familiar with affiliate marketing, you've likely seen it a million times and maybe just aren't familiar with the best way to do it. But if you ever see a YouTube video where someone's doing a makeup tutorial and they're like, here's the products that I use, and then you click on it and you can go buy it, they get a commission off of people buying from that link. Or if you see people on Instagram that are like, get ready with me, or look at these 5 outfits that you can wear for spring, affiliates, they get commission off of anybody who buys those things. And while it may seem like, oh my gosh, but people are buying a lipstick and what's my commission, like 50 cents or something, what people fail to realize is the magic of scale. And so one of the things, for an example, like when you're in a beauty industry, I trust my beauty folks, like whether it's nails, hair, skin, like whatever it is, I trust them. When you find someone you trust, you ask them for recommendations on everything. I'm literally like, my neighbor across the hall is an esthetician, and I literally had her like look at my skin, do stuff to my skin, and she recommended an entire line. Like, she's like, here's what I would recommend for your skin, and I went and bought an entire line of products. Now, if she had an affiliate link for that line of products, by that recommendation alone, she would have made, let's say, maybe it wouldn't have been a ton off the bat, maybe $5, $10. But if you do that with every single person that comes in, you're making good money. My hairdresser recommended, or I wanted to buy, she didn't even recommend it. She was using, I asked her if she had heard of a product. She not only had heard of it, it was, you know, those, oh my God, the Revairs, where it's like it air dries your hair and it's like a suck back in. Those things are $300-something now, right? I asked her if she'd ever used it. She used it on my hair, showed me how to use it, and then told me the best time to buy it because of when it typically goes on sale. If she just sent me a link, she probably could have made $50, $100 from recommending that alone. And so often when you are in a beauty professional seat, oftentimes people forget the power that they have in people's lives from just a pure trust perspective. People trust you. They listen to your recommendations. They will take action based off of what you recommend. And so if you don't even want to have an Instagram or a YouTube channel or all that other stuff, if you just recommend things to your own clients and you share with them that you have a link or a shop online where they can like click and add things to their cart and you'll get a commission, you're going really far. That's like step number one. I have all sorts of ways to diversify income, but that's like the basic. If you're not doing this, please add this in because it's the easiest.
Hey, beauty professionals, are you ready to level up your game? Meet StyleSeed, the ultimate salon management app designed just for you. With StyleSeed, you're not just booking appointments. You're building a beauty empire by getting in front of thousands of clients. Show off your work, manage your schedule, and take control of your earnings all in one place. But that's not all. StyleSeed takes your business to new heights by connecting you with clients who are ready to book. Plus, you'll have powerful business tools like advanced calendar features that give you control over your day, detailed business reporting that keep you informed about every aspect of your business, and easy payment processing for a seamless checkout experience at the end of appointments. Say hello to a wave of new clients and watch your business flourish. See it for yourself. Enjoy $30 off your first 3 months of the premium plan. Get this limited time offer with our special link in the show notes. Join StyleSeed today. Trusted by top professionals and adorned by clients. I love this. I do this myself, and I think it's something that if you're not doing it, definitely try it out, especially if you always find yourself recommending things. And another way to use it too could be in your email list. So I'll tell you what I did. I sent out an email for February, and it was basically talking about ways you could share love in February, right? Outside of just your business, you could do it in your life and your business. So how you can love yourself more. So I talked about like some ways to do self-care. I also talked about some activities you could do, something you could do for other people. And the last thing I put on there, like, you can definitely support a business, is Black History Month. So if you haven't done so already, what business could you support? And I gave some different recommendations, and I also even left a link to a Black business that I'm recommending. So every newsletter I sent out this month, I'm about to be recommending, like, you know, a Black business to support. And of course, I'm an affiliate, but I also want to definitely push the business because it's a great service. I use the service myself, and I agree with that business. So why not, you know, send it out to my audience? But you could do that too. You can utilize your email to make recommendations. I had talked to a salon owner where, because you're local, sometimes that's more beneficial. You're a part of the community. So you could partner with different people in the community. You could recommend, you know, different people in the community and maybe have different partnerships or affiliations with different businesses that way. Then you could send an email out or a newsletter and things of that nature. So those are some great tips. Affiliate marketing, I do feel like it's something that beauty professionals sleep on. Also retail too, because the first thing I thought, the esthetician sent you somewhere else to get skincare products. Like, she should have had skincare products to sell you, right?
Yeah, I mean, so she is a trained esthetician. She doesn't work as an esthetician anymore. Like, she left that career, but she's still trained as an esthetician. And so I trust her with my life. But if she was, if she had a shop, 100%, like, bring those products inside your shop and make sales directly from the place of which you're doing your facilities. I was, like, in her bathroom getting, like...
Okay, I got you. She just,
so, like, it was... Gonna do this. It's an allergy.
Yeah, because I'm like, if I'm, you know, giving a face, I'm definitely going to have the products to sell you for sure. But, yeah, retail, we already know about retail. So affiliate is something that I think some people use here and there, but they could really probably amp it up a bit, and they're probably definitely referring way more than they have links for. So get it, especially if you find something that you talk about all the time, see if you can get a referral link. A lot of times most companies offer that, and why not get paid something? Like, because you would do it for free anyway, so why not get paid something for it, right?
100%. And I'm very transparent about it. I let people know, like, hey, this is an affiliate link. I'm going to get commission. It doesn't impact what you pay. They're just going to pay me something for the referral. But FYI, like, I recommend this all the time. It's something I use. I really believe, and I have an entire guide on affiliate marketing and how to do it well, but I believe that what makes affiliate marketing best is when you are referring and recommending products and, you know, software or whatever it is that you're recommending that you actually use, or subscriptions that you use that you like. And when it's something that's even subscription-based, because that's another big trend in the beauty industry right now, is get people on subscriptions. But, like, if you recommend a subscription based product where they send it to you every, you know, 6 weeks or whatever, the hair care products or the foundation or whatnot, a lot of these companies will pay you a percentage of every purchase, the however long the person is subscribed. So off of every monthly transaction. And so there, that's something that you can count on every single month. And if you think about it, depending on what it is, you can make hundreds, thousands of dollars every single month just coming in because a few people bought something on subscription.
I love that. Yeah, yeah. I love that. Now, what are some ways that we can grow our email list? Because I feel that email marketing is something that it's like a mixed thing with the beauty industry. And I've been really pushing that lately. The importance of it is staying connected, utilizing it, especially because you own it. So you have this list of clients and you can get to them directly in their email box and you don't have to worry about social media, all of that. I think it's something that if you're not using it, you definitely need to add in. But how can we, get more email lists in addition to maybe we already have it from our customers? But how can we build our email list?
Yeah, so I'm going to answer your question, but I'm first going to say something because it's a little bit of a mindset shift. Let's say that three times. That people need to have in order to do what I'm about to recommend. And oftentimes people look at, oh my gosh, social media, oh my goodness, email list, oh my goodness, marketing, as this thing where you're out there selling all the time. And when you're a beauty professional, you are in a unique position where people actually want your content. Most of the content that people don't want are not coming from you, right? People want to hear from you, like, here's how to help have your hair grow longer. Here's how to look younger. Here's how to, you know, properly put on makeup. Here's how to, stay hydrated in the wintertime. People actually want to hear from you. And so the first thing that I really recommend people shifting on is it's not about you. Your social media is not about you. I don't care if you're even the face of it. Your email list is not about you. It's about the people that want your guidance and support. And you're actually one of the few emails that they probably will open because they actually care, right? It's not like getting an email from a store that sells clothes every 5 seconds about their latest sale. You're actually adding value to their lives, right? So come from that perspective, number one.
Right, that's actually a part of their life, right? They come see us every 2 weeks, once a month, whenever. So you're a big part of their lives.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. A hairdress I had when I was in New Jersey, she had been doing my hair since I was 19 years old and accidentally dyed my hair orange, yellowish orange, because that was before I understood toner. And I was trying to dye my hair medium brown only to realize that my hair was medium brown and I had turned it yellow. So she had been doing my hair since I was 19 through the age of 30. Had I turned 39 yet? 38, 39. And the only reason why she stopped was because she stopped doing hair. I had been seeing her. She saw me through college, through grad school, through I moved to Portland, Oregon, and still would come back and have her do my hair. Through like all.
Thanks for sharing that. So why don't you think they would want to hear from you? Because I think sometimes people associate email and they say, well, I don't want to bother people. Or they think about the emails that they hate to get. But this is a person that receives services from you on a regular basis. And you are a big part of their life. You beautify them on a regular basis. They want to hear from you. They want to hear your expertise. You don't always have to be selling to them. You can just check in. You can let them know what's going on. You can make recommendations and include your affiliate links, right? All those things, right?
Literally. And so what I would recommend that people do is one, yes, have an email list. Because if Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, if any of them decide they don't like you, if the government shuts them down, if they decide they don't want to be in business anymore, you lost your connection to people. So you will want to have one in the first place. And then I'm going to teach you how to grow it in just a second, but you want to have one because it is your connection point to your clients. It is something that they can even refer your email list when you look at it of being of value to other people. For example, if you have a bunch of clients saying, oh my gosh, I all of a sudden have dandruff because I'm making this up. I don't even know if this is how dandruff works. If dandruff because, you know, the weather changed so drastically and now I'm flaking and I don't know what the heck to do about it. You can literally go, okay, five ways to treat dandruff this winter, right? And you don't even have to be the dandruff expert. You could probably Google five ways to cure dandruff and then do a summary of it and put it in an email. Just go, like, here, and then say, hey, here are things that I'm trying with my clients. I recommend this product, right? Or I recommend this solution, right? People would love that. People love hearing from you, right? Hey, we just got a new dog. Like, you can share some personal stuff. Hey, just got a new dog. Here, people say, you have this right hair paddle. Right?
Right. Just had a baby. I had a class. Somebody was like, well, I'm happy the baby. Well, tell them about the baby. Send them a picture of the baby. You know, they want to know that type of stuff.
100%. My hairdressers have known about pretty much the one that was with me for dang 20 years, knew about every boyfriend I ever had. Like, I want to hear about her life too. Right. So there's that sort of relationship. Now, when you're growing it, you have a couple of things that you can do. One, you can. The easiest thing is when you have folks on it and you're adding value, ask the people to share, like, hey, share this newsletter with someone who you think would really get value from it and have them opt into it, right? That's easy. That's just basic. Just ask the people that are getting it to invite somebody else to get it because you're adding value, right? That's number one. Number two, and this tactically, I'm going to share high level what to do, but tactically it looks a little bit different today because of how social media is changing. But you can use your social media to drive people to your email list all day, every day. In fact, I'd recommend doing that, especially if you plan on using social media. So one of the things that people are doing is they're doing like these short videos. They don't even need to be long. It's like 10 minutes. Like, hey, here's a lipstick I've tried. Look, it doesn't come off. It's literally just like the lipstick's already on and they're just touching their lips going, look, it's not rubbing off. And then it's like, if you want to know the top five lipsticks that don't smudge or something, comment lipstick below and I'll send you the lipsticks. I'll send you them, right? Here's what's technically happening on the back end. They've had it set up with like probably something called mini chat, which is a automated chat responder where if somebody comments on the post the word lipstick, you have to tell them use the word lipstick, don't add an S, don't spell it wrong, like write it down. And then the bot will automatically, anytime somebody says lipstick, will respond and say, sending you a DM. Like you can type in whatever you want it to respond back to folks. And then it will automatically DM the person a link to opt in to your guide or your email that's going to deliver them the five lipsticks that don't smudge. It does it all automatically on the back end. Now, it may sound complicated. Some people may get overwhelmed. Find one of your customers that are 20-year-old social media maven, or somebody who's like, if you have kids, I really can't wait until I have kids and they're teenagers and then they can do some of my social media stuff. That's what I'm living for. Dear kid, please manage mommy's social media. But like, if you have kids, like they can look this up. There's YouTube videos on how to set this up that are so easy. You don't have to do everything yourself. Ask for help. Write in your newsletter, hey, I'm looking for someone who wants I'm looking for one person to help me set something up for social media and they'll get a free haircut or they'll get 20% off or something like that. You can do so many things to leverage the community that you've built to just get something set up easily that you can just say over and over and over again, comment haircut, comment lipstick, comment shine, right? Like this is the thing I've found that keeps your hair shiny. And then it gets people on your email list over and over and over again with ease.
I love that. Now, I've been hearing a lot about MiniChat, but I haven't tried it, but I've seen it used and I've seen ads, you know, of course, about it. And I know everyone is doing that because they're like, okay, chat and then, or they're say this, put this in the comments. And then if you do that, you'll get a DM. So that I've done it, you know, with different businesses myself and I've heard about it. So yeah, I'm just interested in a little bit more about it. Are you utilizing it yourself or is it something that you recommend for short?
Yeah, I'm using it myself. And there are other ones. And I can't remember them naturally off the top of my head, but I will find it. And I will try to send it to you in case we can put it in the show notes for people. But literally, one person who didn't use MiniChat, and I just have to go through my DMs to figure out what she was using. But what she did was she made her own face wash. And she bought certain things from, let's just say, Amazon to make it easy really quickly, because this is going to combine DMing and affiliate marketing to really blow people's minds here. So she literally like did her own face wash. She said something like she created a 5-second video of her or 10-second video of her washing her face and then said, hey, use my own, have been using my own skin care that I've made myself for 5 years or 10 years. And her skin looks fabulous, by the way, right? You can see it. DM, put this in the comments if you want my recipe for my skincare product, right? Like if you want to know the ingredients or the recipe or whatever. So I commented below. I got an automatic reply. Hey, just sent you a DM. Got something in my DMs. The DM was a link to her blog from 5 years ago that literally showed just the pictures of the bottle that she put it in and the ingredients that she used. And each ingredient had a affiliate link to buy the ingredients. She made this blog once and she's still promoting it 5 years later and still making commissions off of people buying the ingredients.
Wow.
5 years later. And so it wasn't MiniChat that she was using. I forget the link of it. I will put it in the chat just to give people options. But these things exist and you just set it up once. And if you come up with like, what are the top five problems that my clients are always asking about? Is it how to, like, if it's hair, I'm going to just think about mine. Or if things that I've had over time, how do you grow your hair? Because everybody wants to grow their hair, right? Mm-hmm. Or if it's thinning, like, you know, people care about hair growth. People care about keeping their hair healthy. People care about dandruff. People care about the right coloring, right? Like you just come up with what are the things that people are constantly coming to you for. People that are like going natural, like just think of the things that you get asked over and over and over again. And then just once, write one blog post or one YouTube video or one guide or one something. Do it once. You can have somebody that is better at this than you on social media do it for you and offer them like a free haircut or something. Have them do it once and then you set it up once on social media, like set up once in MiniChat or something similar, and then you just say, hey, comment this word below to get the thing, and then you can just rotate between the five, talking about these five topics over and over and over again in a slightly different way, and just keep getting people on your email list and keep getting people to buy things from your affiliates and keep getting people locally to book an appointment. Like, why not have one that's like, hey, if you are going from natural or from a relaxer to going natural and you're worried about doing the big chop, book an appointment and I'll do the chop for you and also give you a completely new transition plan so that you can confidently go from relaxer to having natural hair.
I love it. I think that's different. I don't think I had anything like that shared before, but really utilizing the DMs and social media to build it up. And I like the idea of how, I love that, like how she sent them back to the blog from 5 years ago, just with the ingredients, and she was affiliate of all those ingredients. So she really didn't have to make the product to profit.
No.
Paying out, but like, genius, okay? Yeah. Genius. So yeah, it's been absolutely great talking to you, Nikki. I know you have a podcast and everything. So tell us about your podcast.
Yes. So I have a podcast called Market Your Genius. It's also the name of my book. Market Your Genius is all about how you can take your experience, your knowledge, your expertise and turn it into a profitable business. We talk heavily on marketing, sales. I'm doing an entire series on affiliate marketing because I really believe that there is a huge opportunity for people to truly understand what marketing looks like and what it could be for their business and to do it in a way that's actually going to work for them. Because I actually don't believe there's a one size fits all approach to marketing. And I do think, though, that it is the key to growing a business. And so the Market Your Genius podcast is where I would go for sure.
I love that. What are some ways we can market our genius?
The list goes on, but personally, I'll just share for myself ways that I've marketed my genius is I've done live video. So when I started getting clients, I did Facebook Live like a decade ago all the time. I actually still do Facebook Lives because I just did one earlier today. So Facebook Lives, Instagram Lives, there's live content. Audio, I have a podcast, right? So audio, I guest on podcasts and I have my own podcast. Writing. I write blog posts. I also wrote a book. So it's really just thinking about speaking. I go to other events. collaborating. If you are a hairstylist and you there's a women's organization in town, why not say, hey, I'd love to talk about how to have healthy hair to your ladies. Can I do a presentation? You go in there and you speak about 5 tips for having healthy hair. By the way, brought to you by my salon. Book an appointment if you'd love to work, love for one of us to help you have healthier hair. It's like, just think about where are your people showing up and how can you show up as an expert and add value to their lives. And I promise you, if you keep it that simple, any idea that you come up with in that vein will be of service to your business.
I love that. I love that. I will definitely make sure we have your podcast and your book and all of those awesome things in the show notes. So tell us, like, what is the biggest lesson you've learned thus far on your entrepreneurial journey?
Ooh, the biggest. This is literally the biggest, is that my wealth does not need to come from directly from the revenue inside my business. And so what I mean by that is that I think for the longest time, I was like, I need to make basically gajillions of dollars in my business in my lifetime in order to fund like the future of my unborn children, like these kids that don't even exist yet. And what I learned is a couple of things. One is that I can bring in money by recommending other people's products and services. That's why I'm really big on this affiliate kick. I'll also send you the link to my affiliate guide so people have it, but it's on my website, on the NikkiNash.co website. So I'll send that over. That's number one. But the other biggest thing is that now what I've been doing is looking at how I can have my money make money. So I'm really into personally real estate investing, but it could be investing in other businesses. It could be stocks. It could be crypto. It doesn't matter what the heck it is. But I carve out a certain amount of money that I bring in and I use it to further advance another stream of income that doesn't require me to do things. So I like rental properties. I'm personally interested and have a passion for multifamily rental properties where I'm like, hey, how can I acquire a duplex or a quad? And there are ways to do it without doing a traditional mortgage the way that we've been taught to buy homes. But I'm like, how do I do that, right? Invest in that and have people come in, pay off the property, and then I get extra income coming in from the home so that it's making money in the event that, you know, this literally happened to me, but I was in a bad car accident about a year and a half ago, and it took me out of working for a bit. And I was kind of like, oh, crap, I'm screwed if something ever happens to me. So if I have a rental property or investments that pay dividends or something else constantly bringing in money or making money, then should anything happen to me that stops me from working, literally, I'm not, for lack of a better word, screwed.
I love that. I love that. So what is your favorite tool to use in your business as a marketing professional?
Literally my phone. My phone is my favorite tool.
And this will give us an app or something other than your phone. Honestly, what do you use on that phone?
But I'm going to say why it's my phone. My phone, because my phone, and then I'll give you some apps, but like, I think people often are looking for the latest sexy, greatest thing. I'm making up words now. And I'm a big fan of keeping it simple. But the reason why it's my phone is because with my phone, I have a list of contacts and I could reach out to anyone, tell them what I'm up to and ask for referrals. So there's that. Then it's also my phone because I have Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn Live on my phone, and I can literally go live and just talk about something and tell people, give them some advice and then invite them to work with me. It's my phone because I can now, like with Venmo and all these other things, I could accept payments from doing something on my phone. I could be like, just go to this link and pay me money for this service that I'm delivering to you. And so my phone is literally my favorite thing. And I can record videos and audios. Back in the day, I used to record podcast episodes in my car on my phone when I couldn't do it on a computer. So don't sleep on the phone, people. But I do love any app that can splice videos really easily. So CapCut is one.
Wow. Maybe.
Yeah, that's one of my faves. So I do like that. But if somebody left me somewhere and I could only bring one thing and I needed to keep growing my business, I would take my phone. I'd be like, all right. And the charger.
Yeah, gotta have the charger, right?
Gotta have the charger. Otherwise, it'll be a useless tool at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, Nikki, it has been a pleasure having you all. I really enjoy all the awesome tips and everything you shared. Please tell everybody how they can connect with you and everything.
Yeah, so I am a sucker for Instagram. So you can find me on Instagram at Nikki Nash Official. Send me a DM or a message that you listened to me on this podcast. Would love to hear from you there. And then I also link to a lot of free magic on my podcast. I mean, on my Instagram. And that's where I give a lot of great advice and tips. So that's where I would say is the go-to place to stay connected with me.
Awesome. Nikki Nash, everybody. I'll have all of her information in the show notes. As always, stay great. And we are out. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe. Check us out on Apple Podcasts and leave a review. I want to hear from you. Email me at info@businessbeautynetwork.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at I Am Brandy Taylor and Facebook at I Am Brandy Taylor. I want to connect with you, so let's stay connected. And remember that all things are possible if you only believe. Stay great.